And it's KBC Arts Now on KBC Arts and Entertainment, as well as the people and places providing it. I'm Adam Rainey Ruiz. And on this edition of the program, we'll hear from Richie Velasquez, who also goes by his artist name, Del Adesso. He is one of six artists who has been selected to be part of Riverside's new artist and residency program. Thank you for joining us in the program.
What's up, man?
So before we even talk about the artist residency program, I do have several questions about you as a person and your history as an artist. Have you always lived in Riverside, or have you just kind of moved around a bit and just ended up coming back?
I've lived in Riverside for like 12 years. When I was younger and like after high school days, I would come out here to just local shows and just music shows, art shows, things like that. I always liked it because it was always super like, I wouldn't know anybody. I would just come out here because I would see a flyer and I'm like, oh, but it was always super welcoming. It was got a really good vibe.
So when did you start creating and sharing your art?
I started doing it more full time, like 2012. I was working, paying off like school loans, and I just kind of started doing a bunch of like tutorials and like different style things. And I would be bored. And after that, I would just post stuff online. And that's like during the Tumblr era. So I was just like, this was like the internet was like here, and like Instagram was a thing. And I just started posting all my work and just kind of just for fun. It was always just fan art, just kind of like the drippy, the grimy aesthetic stuff. It was all pop culture and things I was seeing, things from my past. I would call it grime, and I would just drip it out. And I would just post it online and like forget about it and then go to work and then do the same. It would just repeat. I'd get home and just always draw something. And then things started kind of going like viral on their own. And I would wake up with like things that have like a bunch of like reshares and retags. And that kind of started something. And it got me to a place where I got like my first gig, kind of snowballed. And the more I would post, the more jobs I would get.
Awesome. So you said a lot of things I have so many questions about. First off, what is grime art?
So you know how like hashtags, right?
Yeah.
Like when I started creating the work, like I thought about like sharing it, and hashtags were a tool.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I don't want to use art because art already has, it was already populated with like hundreds and thousands of millions of people posting on there. So it would get lost. So early on, I was like, I'm gonna make my own tag. And growing up in San Bernardino, skateboarding all around the IE, this was just kind of like how we talked, like, oh, that's grimy or that's this. And I was working too. So like all the graphic stuff I was doing, I would call like digital death, you know, it's kind of like work. It's like digital death and grime. So it was like kind of mixing both of them and just creating a little mini jingle hashtag. And I just created that hashtag and just put it up, and that was it. Like it just kind of created itself. I didn't want to call it art. Once my stuff got more popular, like the kids put grime art on it, so it kind of created its own kind of cool grime community throughout the world. I started seeing, and it was kind of tripping me out because I was like, I wasn't anybody. Like even now, I'm like still catching up and trying to do something. But even back then, it was like, wow, how am I gonna make money if other people are like copying my stuff? And like, very protective over it. You focus all of your energy on one person while like six other kids sneak behind you and are going to do it anyways. I learned to live with it and let it go and kind of embraced it. And I was like, well, it's part of the internet. Like what used to take 20 years to get popular now takes 5 years, now less and less. And once it becomes like some kind of trend and movement, it's kind of unstoppable. You release it to the internet and it's kind of like it doesn't really belong to you no more. So you have to accept it, you know, but it's grime art. It's like it's not drips. It's more like I just want, again, it's like when you create a style, you want to like create a name to it, and I just stayed with grime, everything grimy, but it's like not positive, not negative. It's kind of up to the person that creates the grime art.
Would you have ever guessed that when you first started that you would be essentially the original creator for grime art? Did you ever think about that?
Now it's because I do these interviews and I talk to people, they're like, they get, and you go on the internet, like that's what it is. But it took a kind of while to accept that or kind of understand that whole thing, because like even now it's just like, oh yeah, I did that. I created that movement, and I wasn't aware when it was happening at the time. It was, oh, like this movement's happening. Kids in Jakarta, Indonesia are doing it. And I'm like, all these people are copying. Like, and at first, you, as like a person, you're like, oh man, like you're very protective over it. But then you're like, wait a minute, this is like a good thing. I didn't respond negatively to it. I was just more like, oh, how am I going to work trying to live as an artist? It's like, how am I going to get any gigs or any of that stuff? And I accepted it. I'm like, well, I'm not going to do anything now, but like, I understand that there is that movement, and maybe later on I'll understand that once it becomes like a thing again, or like, cause everything's cyclical, everything kind of comes back. So it's all trends. And oh, once I figure out what that movement is, we can kind of create something like a meaning for grime art and do it together. The community will figure that out. And I'll just kind of be like, the grandfather, they call it online. I was like, oh man, like these names are weird. I don't understand it because I'm like still kind of surviving as an artist and still like very new to me. And I'm like, I don't understand the responsibility of it. So it's when people are like, dude, you're the guy, or like, you're that person that does this. And I'm like, oh yeah, like I am. Like, but now I'm doing different things to express myself. Like I draw me, I do music. I kind of create this little world called Ufolandia, where it's not just that grime art. That grime art got me into this mindset. Cause you know, you get bored. So you kind of constantly have to like figure out ways to kind of like keep it fun and interesting and different. So I'm always following my brain and my heart, you know, like, well, okay, this is what's making me happy at the moment.
So what ways have you tried to have fun with it and make it different to pretty much successfully like exercise that muscle?
I'm learning it's like true expression. It's kind of like do whatever you think feels right and legit makes you like happy, you know?
Yeah.
It has to kind of be that. And I was 10 years out of high school, went to straight to like warehouse. Then I went to school for visual communications, got my associates in that. And once you got into finding job placement, like there was like a huge line of the whole class looking for the same job. And it was like very discouraging. So right away I went, I'm like, well, I got to pay off these loans. So it's like, let me go to work. That's kind of the easiest thing out here in the IE. It's like, I'm going to work at warehouse. Did that, you know? But like that got me into that mindset of like, all right, I got to keep doing fun stuff. You know, it's like, how do you make that, like, go to school, take a break and pay off stuff because that's money. And then because of the internet, figured out, I'm like, oh dude, I do other things to make income. We're kind of getting towards like 2012 and I'm like, I can do this. I got the confidence to kind of like quit the warehouse and then start doing this full time. But then you're like, it's a hustle and it's a constant like I gotta sell this art to make rent, or like I have to like do a lot of these things. So it's like you kind of constantly have to stay on that mindset. So it gets exhausting, you get tired, and they figure out the formula of how to like do these things. So a lot of people that start doing it aren't maybe not as passionate. They just figure out like, oh, this is how they get the likes or do all this. But not everybody's like an artist, but they use these things to kind of sell a shirt or something. And so it's like I get disenfranchised and I get like sad. I'm like, oh man, I'm like, I just want to make cool stuff, you know. I just want to make this fun art, you know. So it's like, how do you create fun when you know life might not be fun at the moment? You gotta be creative, you know. And like early on when I was younger too, in class I would just find creative ways out of boredom, you know. Like the resources I have too, like whatever I have available, like things like this or like just scrap paint, just cardboard, anything accessible at the moment to make something super fun.
So you're talking about finally getting paid and everything to do some pieces. Do you remember your first paid gig as an artist?
Yeah, I got hit up online from some official hat brand. They were just like an upcoming hat brand. And they're like, can you edit? Like, they would call it edits. They wouldn't even call it art. It was just like, can you edit like 8 photos, $100 per photo? And then back in my head, I was like, that's like $800. Yeah. I wasn't making that at the warehouse, you know? I was making like $300 a week. Or so it was like, I was getting paid $8.25 an hour. And I was like, dude, I can finish this really quick. And I was like, so that was it. I was like, oh, cool. It's like every job gets you another job. Since my stuff was relatively new, I started getting hit up for different like brands. Through posting through Tumblr, I got connected with Pabst Blue Ribbon, and somebody from there contacted me. The cool thing about that at the time, it's like if you wanted something to get to the source, you can just tag them and then just let it go and then get an email later and get to that source of contact. And that was helping me out a lot because I'm like, I think I'm more so like a fan artist. Like I draw the stuff that I like to show people like, hey, like that guy kind of likes the stuff that I like. I'm gonna buy a shirt from him or some prints. And that's how I was like making like money. I was just selling my own merchandise as well.
Yeah. And speaking of Pabst Blue Ribbon, you do have an incredible amount of collaborations. The list can go on. You did with stuff with Baker's, Nike, Liquid Death. Out of all those places and brands that you worked with, can you tell us something that like really stuck out with you working with them?
I think when I did the Baker's one was really cool because like I kind of just reached out. I kind of thought, I'm like, I was eating and I was like opening a drawer and I saw like a habanero ketchup in the drawer and I was like, how come I've never reached out to Baker's? I'm like, I want a free burger, like, you know, like, and that was kind of like that. I just did like those sticker Giphy packs online on Instagram and I made them like a fan one. One of the people there through IG saw it, reached out to me, and they went to their headquarters and then just had a meeting. I was like, that's cool. And like, yeah, we just started from there. And then they were releasing a kid's meal. So they were like, hey, we want to include something in here. Like, how about a sticker pack? So I did a couple sticker packs with them. And to me, that was cool because that's like the most IE thing I've ever done. Like, I was just like, okay, like, cool. Like, I had a lot of people like from the Empire that were just super like proud. It was like a proud moment for a lot of people. They're like, oh, heck yeah. Good job, Richie. I'm like, thank you.
Looking across your portfolio, I noticed you like mixing pizza with your grime art. You have pieces like Edward Pizza Hands, the Mona Pizza, Pie Pie Pie, My Darling. How did you come up with mixing grime art with pepperoni pizza?
That was kind of like an obvious choice. I'm like, oh yeah, that drips too. That was me kind of like, I'm gonna change things now and then just turn it into pizza. I was like, that's just kind of like when you create art, you kind of have different series. So I'm like, oh, I'm gonna do the pizza series. And then that kind of like kept it interesting, you know? So it's like when you do like art independently, you have to constantly like evolve it. So that's kind of like a conscious effort of like, all right, like before the analytics were even there, like you kind of saw the drops and you're just kind of like, oh, how can I keep this going, or how can I keep it more interesting? So it's just like, oh, pizza, and then just Della Desso Pizza Party, and did a whole series, and people reacted really well, and that sparked a whole nother series for me, and just kept that going. Did collaborations with my friends. There's a whole collective called Pizza Boys. They do a graffiti collective, and connected with them. These things kind of happen the more you connect with friends and kind of keep it going. So you kind of spread your stuff to a different audience, and then like it just kind of like keeps the whole thing growing. So hooking up with the pizza community just got me way more respected in a lot of different areas because of like Pizza Boys, and like everybody loves pizza. It was just kind of like an obvious, oh man, people are like, how come you don't do other toppings? I'm like, I don't even want to start with that. That's too much.
I also noticed in a lot of your work that you have oof everywhere. I love it. Is there a reason behind it? Is there a meaning, that a message that you're trying to get out to the people?
That's one of those words that were kind of like, because connecting with the graffiti community and just kind of, oh, that people have their own tags. It was like a whole different language out there. So it's like, oh, I'm going to do oof, was just hiding in plain sight. I was kind of over everybody like copying my stuff to like do things. That's why I started my own character. I was like, I need to do something that not everybody's going to, you know, take, because that's just me, you know? During the time, like this is 2018, everything's getting very tense and heavy. Words you could say back then, you can't say anymore. So it's like, okay, oof. Like that's literally all you have left to say is like, oof. You know, there's a lot of words you can't say anymore. So I'm like, I use something to substitute it, you know? So it's just like my own like stamp, like, oh, oof, oof. And it doesn't really belong to me, you know? It's like a little thing character, but it's like people send me things from like movies. I'm like, I didn't create the word, you know? It's like.
But I love what they did with it though. With the little eyes and little droopy eyes.
It's like my own like Disneyland with doing Oofalandia. I created the euphemisms and all my wordage and all that kind of stuff just to kind of make it make sense. A lot of this stuff, like it's a lot of energy just so I can sell a painting, you know? I didn't want to just have it on white walls. It takes a lot of like energy to get people invested into your world. So it's like once they step in, they're like, oh, it's like a theme park. Like once they exit the ride, it's like they feel invested and they want to buy something, you know? Doing art, it does become a business. So it's like that making merch and making it sustainable is the job, really. So it's like you have to constantly get people into your shop and in their minds, and then like do a happy brainwash for people to kind of remember you, and like, oh, like that's the true currency, is like Richie, you know, the name, and like, hey, that I like that person, I'm gonna support them, you know? And it's like there's a lot to it.
Just your character, little cartoon?
Just Richie. Just Richie. Little Richie. Let's say I sign my prints. I usually put my little, I draw on the back. And to me, I'm just happy people are like there. So I'm like super stoked that anybody, you should be super stoked that anybody even pays attention to what you're doing. Cause it's hard to get attention nowadays. So it's like the fact that anybody walks into your shop or your portal of your art is like, it's amazing.
Speaking of shops, at this moment, we are at Division 9 Gallery. How did you end up here?
That's kind of a lot of the things while being a resident here in Riverside. It's just like you just kind of meet your neighbors. And Cosme has been doing Day of the Dead for like over 23 years. And he's kind of one of the big artists out here. So I'm like, the fact I'm kind of always like, oh, I'm not worthy. I'm like, so it took me a while to get into his like, oh, who's this guy, you know? And like, and I kind of do that. I'm like, just kind of like, I'm always going to be around. And yeah, I just started good to befriended him, and he's been just kind of helping out with what we're doing. He's one of the partners for Mucho Gusto, the festival we do now. And like, been learning a lot on how to produce a festival and like the things that go on besides the talent and the fun stuff. There's a lot of logistical stuff that can become a headache, you know, working with the city, the porta potty, the rentals, the barricades, the generators. So we're just like, this is a lot of work, you know, like just meeting all the vendors and getting all that stuff. It's like, I'm glad I just have to draw for now, but like, I think it's turning into more of a serious thing where we're like trying to make it easier for everybody involved.
Love the setup you guys here. It's very immersive. Even the setup that we have, if you check us out online, it'll be I'm planning on having this as like the cover. It's really love it.
Like, yeah, right now it's just a they're like, hey, he's like, do you want to do a show? I'm like, yeah, let's do it. One farts walk and just call it Junke, just things that we had around. He's gonna revamp everything here, so it's just kind of like whatever we have time for, you know. And because these shows, they happen and it's like, and nothing happens, so I'm like, let's do a no pressure show and just do something just to do it. And we're going to be setting up for Mucho Gusto, so we're going to host a lot of like piñata workshops for the festival, which is September 20th.
Where did the name Del Adesso come from?
I used to DJ in the MySpace era as Desolate, and I had a friend, caller ID would always pop up, and his name is Robert Dela Cruz, and it just looked cool. And then Dela in Spanish is of the, so I just kind of cut it short when Twitter and all that stuff was out there, and I was like, oh, Dela Deso, just Desolate, because it's me by myself in this desolate mindset, and just always gonna be you by yourself, you know, for the most part when you're creating art. And yeah, that was just, I cut it down and somehow it stuck. And that, and people ask me all the time, like, what is that? I'm like, and I tell them, and then they know less once I explain it to them.
Have you ever Google translated the name by chance?
Del Adesso?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't, but I know Dela is of the.
Yeah, I did it for you, man. It's actually Swedish for shared. As an artist name, Del Adesso, you're constantly just sharing your work for everybody, and it's just random coinkidink.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, it's like, I do a lot of that too. I just kind of like, not gatekeep, but just kind of like, it's out there and help people. And I'm very, like, I try to be helpful with things that we do, and even my art with my attention, I'm like, I don't want to make it all about me. So I use like Instagram to like share other artists, things like that. And like, it's good for everybody to grow, because it's like, it'll get me a job later, you know?
Yeah.
Like, maybe somebody else will hire me when I'm not cool anymore. Like, somebody that I helped out will help me out, but it's not the intention. It's just to kind of share.
The City of Riverside and Riverside Art Council has created the Artist in Residency program that aims to enrich Riverside's community life through public art. The Riverside Arts Council has selected 6 artists that have until the end of December of 2026 to develop at least 1 public art piece and a minimum of 4 public engagements with the community. How did you hear about that program?
I had my wife tag me in it. I've had friends, like, they're like, hey, you should check this out. And I was just like, I've never applied for a grant before or a residency or any of that stuff, you know? I was already like going through my own changes. I started working in a warehouse again because it's just, life's crazy. And I'm like, I got it. Like, the cost of living super high. So I was already not confident about it, you know? So got the reminders and I just applied, you know? And I just like, let me do it for once and do it proper and go through the whole thing, do the application. It was a little bit hard because when you start to fill it out, is a lot of like soul searching and a lot of doubt. There's so much doubt because you start to do it and you're like, I'm not good enough. I'm done. Like you just kind of walk out. I think I just walked out on the application like at least 3 times because I'm like, dude, I'm not worthy. I'm very self-deprecation. I don't know. I just kind of like listen to my wife and just apply yourself. You just apply it. And like my artwork, I just filled it out and forgot about it. And then I was just sitting there and I got an email like months later and I was like, I got it. And I was like, what? That's crazy. I'm not used to like winning anything or like anything like that. It doesn't really happen. It was a happy moment for, you know, it was very like, oh, very like, cool. And for me, it was like the city too. I live here. So it's like, that's cool. They noticed what I'm doing and like I got selected because there was a lot of applicants. Then I saw the list of people and I'm like, oh, cool. Like, I know him. I was very proud for them too. And I was just like, I don't know what this means. You know, I because now the responsibility is figuring out that community, that ward, which is Ward 3, which is Midtown. They're trying to revamp that whole thing too. Meeting with the councilman. I got Steven Robillard and I met with him. And so we're kind of just introductions at this point and just figuring out what the next steps are, other council meetings. And so it is like, I'm starting to do the art thing where I'm getting overwhelmed and I'm like, oh man, this is gonna be hard, but it's not. It's just getting it all out there and just concentrating and just chilling and listening to the community, like filling out surveys. And it's cause it's gonna be a collaborative thing with the community, I'm assuming. It's not just gonna be fully me, but I'd like to find a happy medium to make everybody happy for sure. Hopefully it inspires other businesses to get involved and hire other artists to beautify that area as well, you know? The commercial work has been kind of funny these past couple years, and the jobs I used to get since like my stuff was like a trend, it's like there's so many artists out there doing it and it was a little discouraging. So this, at this moment, getting home team advantage, if that's not the internet and stuff like that, is like very smart to do because I live here and I need that kind of help to get noticed from the city and get recognition, was kind of a big moment.
if possible, I know you have till December of next year. And of course, one of the requirements is having 4 public engagements with the community. As part of your residency, do you have any upcoming plans for the community that you could possibly share with us so we could get out there?
These first couple ones, I'm going to do like a sticker design just to kind of like get my face out there. I think they're doing something in October for Halloween. They're doing like trunk or treat. They want to get my face out there. So that I'm just meeting with them. There's always going to be skepticism. Like when it's stuff like that, it's like, oh, this art. And so they're going to be like, what kind of art do you do? So like the stickers is kind of a nice introduction and kind of like get it myself out there, give away prints and just kind of become a familiar face in that area and things of that nature. Right now, I have to let the art do the work for me. You know, it's like they pick me. So I'm like, all right, like, this, I don't want to like adapt too much. I want to collaborate, but I do want to keep it like, hey, this is my work too, you know. So seems like it's gonna be a cool challenge, you know. But yeah, stickers, you're gonna see drips for sure.
Awesome.
So you're gonna see maybe an oof here and there. I'd like to do some interactive stuff to kind of like get the kids and hopefully do some stuff at schools and kind of like get other kids inspired to help paint some pieces of it. Right now it's open because like it's up to us to kind of create what the engagements are gonna be. So right now it's like fairly new, you know, like again, I've never done one. So it's like, I'm learning as I'm going in this journey. I'm for sure document. I want to document as much as possible.
Oh, that'd be so cool. A little mini YouTube series, a little vlog of.
I need content.
Yeah, you need content.
I need to post art, you know? So it's like, oh, let me be more relevant with what I'm doing, you know, and build my story. So it should be fun.
I'll look forward to when that comes out.
There will be fun. There will be oof and there will be fun. And a couple drips here and there. And bakers.
And bakers, all I do. As long as I'm showing up with bakers for sure. Have you scoped out War 3 yet? Or do you have any ideas where you might slap some murals?
When I had the meeting with Steven, we just kind of Google Maps and just kind of started looking at different spots out there. And the scope of it, I was like, oh man, I didn't. It just depends on the project that we decide to do. I guess that'll, wherever the spot is, that's where the homework is. Like, all right, I'm going to have to add certain things that make sense in that area or to welcome people to Riverside. You know, that's part of why the arts are going to be here, to cause some kind of physical impact. Like, you know, have people like, hey, this is out there and get people to come out here for things like this, you know. But I have no idea, man. I'm like, I don't know. It's like, I'm kind of like going that way. A lot of this stuff just kind of happens. So I'm not really trying to overwhelm myself either, really, like with this experience. I want to experience it in a very organic manner and like just kind of go with it and just kind of like whatever feels right. And that's what the art is. It's like what I'll know once we start to, it'll just kind of start coming together once the closer we get to this stuff. Just how I work is like usually under like crazy pressure. It's due tomorrow. All right, I got you.
Let's go get some monsters real fast. All this being said, what does it mean for you to be part of this program?
I think it's going to inspire a lot of other people to kind of like apply themselves. Now that I've been telling everybody, like, dude, just try, apply. If they say no, that's cool, but at least you try. I have a lot of people support me a lot, you know, like I feel it, like, and getting this, I think other people were more stoked at the time than me. I'm not understanding what it is, but I just got calls and texts and, hey dude, congrats, I just saw, like, so it felt really good to be like, that's that home team advantage. I'm like, cool. I'm things that I was saying, I was planning it out unintentionally. I was just kind of like putting it out there and I'm like, oh, it's working. This is like, I'm creating goals and I'm like setting aside more goals for myself and things that I'm learning, I want to share with the youth to do as well. So I think if anything, they're just going to be inspired and be like, hey, if that oofy guy can do it, then I can do it too, you know, like, because yeah. That's what inspiration is, even with the negative stuff, with whatever happens with the world, but like when people are doing stuff, I'm like, well, if that guy can do that, then I can do it too, you know, so like you should be inspired. I think inspiration will come out of this, you know, because I'm super inspired to figure it out. I don't know, I'm having fun with it right now.
Before we end this, I do have something for you. I ran into one of your friends at the radio station, and before you open it, I must tell you, I ran into, I'm sorry Eva for this if I butcher your last name, Eva. Okay, you're okay. Eva from the Big Bot.
McDonough.
I have it written down.
Mikhailovich.
Mikhailovna. Mikhailovna. I'm sorry, David. He yelled me.
Eva.
Eva. Okay, she's a singer of Eva and the Vagabond Tales. She wanted me to pass that gift to you. No message. I should say it all.
Just by that name alone, I know what this is.
You know what it is?
I the feel? Let's see.
sardines.
Thank you, Eva. Should I try them?
We should.
You want to try some?
I'll join you with the Matt. You want to get on this sardine action? You get? All right.
All right. Should we try the which one?
I've never had sardines, so I don't know which one would be the best.
Every time I bump into Eva, we're eating sardines for some reason. But, so let's do the. I see lightly smoked.
Before we dive in, can you share with the listeners what's the story behind these sardines?
So Eva's a creative from IE as well, and she was one of the guests on one of the shows that we're creating called Moss Fun TV. We had her do an interview and performance. She has her own episode. You can watch it. It's this app that we're creating called Moss Fun TV, where you can download on your iPhone, Apple TV. And so I just wanted to create something where it was just like television, you know, instead of podcast, like the traditional podcast. I'm like, oh, let's do, like, I grew up on television and I like television and I want to keep that kind of going, like MTV, all that stuff. I like music. I like independent films. And so we created this and she was one of the guests. And yeah, that was like, there's been like multiple times that I've seen her, and every time we see each other, there's sardines involved somehow. Like, they're just there, you know. She's like, and then if you're not familiar with her music, she makes this great music. So like, she's funny and just like very talented person. So this is dedicated to her.
She told me this one story where you guys found an expired can of sardines.
You gotta watch the episode.
No, I gotta watch the episode. Okay. Well,
oofing out with Eva.
Oofing out with Eva. So where can people and listeners, where can we find your work and YouTube channel? Or?
You kind of find my Instagram, at Deladesso. Deladesso.com is my website, and you kind of spiral. You have to kind of dig. Like, there's gold there, but you got to dig for it. Like you have to dig for it. I don't make it easy for anybody. Like, I want people to work for it. I don't want, you know, giving them the knowledge is one thing, but like, I like when people are like invested and like kind of find it, you know. And it makes it like a little more gratifying for people when they learned on their own instead of just getting spoon fed. It's kind of more like, hey, like, I learned how to do this and now I'm gonna figure it out, you know. But yeah, Moss Fun TV, download it. It's free for now. We're not selling anything, just giving away free smiles. That's kind of like our thing. It's just kind of like getting people to like relax. And how do you create fun when we're not living fun times? So you got to be creative on how do you create fun. So that's the only thing, is I want people to be less critical and more like themselves.
I just want to thank you again for taking your time, man, and sitting down with me and just telling me
this. Look, I got great stuff. This cool microphone. I don't get to do this often. It's heavy. My arm hurts.
Yeah, my hands and palms are all sweaty. Yeah.
No, but you did good, man. This was cool.
Oh, thank you. And with that, we wrap up another edition of KBC Arts. Thanks again to Deladesso, a.k.a. Richie. I also want to thank Matt Onales, David Fleming, Jessica Greenwell, Rick Dulock, Eva Mikhailovna, Kelly Kluke, and everyone at the KBC Arts Station. Many past KBC Arts can be found through iTunes, NPR One, Google Podcast, and Spotify, and most past shows are at kbcrnews.org/arts. I'm Adam Rainer Ruiz, and thanks especially to you for listening and for your support.